Your Bibles are open this morning to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, you should be able to find it. Luke. We're turning to chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. In our text today, we see our Lord Jesus Christ making his way to Jerusalem. For it would be here the time when the Savior would go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And Jesus passes right by Samaria and Galilee, as you'll notice in verse number 11. And he approaches a small village where the Son of God is met by 10 men with leprosy. The Bible says in verse number 11 of chapter 17 of Luke, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" May the Lord add his blessings and direction in our text this morning. We find that these 10 men were lepers. Leprosy. A disease that was hereditary and contagious, the skin disease, actually, that would attack the nervous system to the point that the victim could no longer even feel the pain. This infection leads to a degeneration of the tissues in the body, and finding that the individual would become deformed, and many times the limb would literally just drop off. Leprosy. Like the stages of cancer, leprosy is a living death. And little by little, the body would decay. The lepers, those who survived, would live a life of pain, separation, and humiliation. Around the world today, there are still those who are affected by this disease, however, not like before. As a matter of fact, here in the United States, there's only 20,000 cases of leprosy per year that are accounted for. But leprosy in the Bible is mentioned some 68 times. And a person who had leprosy was to be separated from the congregation until he was either determined that he no longer was a leper or until he passed. The book of Leviticus, chapter 13 and 14, gives us a very long prescription of determining whether somebody has this disease. The local priest would act as the health department, and they would pronounce whether a person was a leper that would have to live outside of the camp. I want you to think about it, that in biblical times, leprosy was viewed as a curse from God. It was a type of sin. This infectious skin disease that was often connected with one's sin. Thus, leprosy is often referred to as a type of sin. Here in chapter 5, we have the record of the Lord healing these lepers. Chapter 5, we have one leper. Here in chapter 17, we see there are 10 lepers. But what's interesting in this passage of Scripture is that there were 10 men that were coming to the priest and coming to Christ first. And when the Lord sees them, if you'll notice in verse 12, there met 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. I want you to think about these lepers and their condition as lepers. Would you mark this? They were actually crippled. The truth of it is they were born with this deadly disease, and in Bible times this was a terminal disease. When we think about when I was born, I also was born with a terminal illness, and so were you. It was called sin. We're all reminded that we were crippled at birth. The crippling part of our disease is genetic code, just like those of lepers. I got it from my parents, and my parents got it from their parents, and all the way back to our first parents of Adam and Eve. Because of one man's sin, the Bible says, sin had been passed upon all men, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death was passed upon all men. Romans 5:12, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were all born with this disease called sin. It was not only a deadly, crippling disease, but also a contagious disease. I read from Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 4. The Bible says, speaking of Israel, was a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Speaking of man's sin. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says, from the sole of their foot even unto their head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now you may feel healthy today, and you may have just had a physical that says everything's okay. But the truth of it is, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you have a terminal disease. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No MRI, no CAT scan, no other diagnostic tool of modern day can find it out. Only God's Word can dig you out and show each of us that we were all born sinners. Our world today is crippled. Our world today is contagious. Our world as well is condemned. And those who do not know Christ, they're condemned to a place that's called hell. Luke says here in verse number 12 that these lepers actually stood afar off. A person with leprosy was considered an outcast. He could not enter into the camp. He was shunned by all. And no one, as we find, would bring these to Jesus. But they're standing afar off. They were declared unclean, unclean. And they would repeat that they could not enter into normal society. 9 countries in Africa, Asia, Latin America declare leprosy as a public health problem. 75% of those who have leprosy. Lepers were separated. They were shut out. They were cast off. It seems that these lepers were shut out to the area from everyone else. As you read this passage of Scripture in verse number 12, it says, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Sinners today are afar off. Sinners today are away from God. Sinners today are crippled. They're condemned to a place called hell. You find that the law condemns these lepers. And the law condemns all unclean sinners who are condemned. And so we see that the condition here reminds us of the condition of our world for the most, of sinners who need a touch of the healing hand of God. These men were crippled. They were contagious. And yes, they were condemned. But notice in verse number 13. And the Bible says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Do you see this is the remedy? Do we understand this is their help? This is their hope? They admitted, they are admitting that they had a need. And you'll never be found, and for those who do not know Christ, until you admit that you are lost. Until you admit your condition. Too many people today are living in denial. They're living every day as if they're going to live forever, and they will never admit their need. Why? Because they've been blinded by the god of this world. And many feel they have the world by the tail on a downhill swing. They think everything is well and all is good and I'm making money and I have relationships and I'm enjoying life. But there'll come a day when they'll recognize that they have a need. And that need, my friend, is salvation. The gift of God that is available to all. The truth is, the reason that many sinners do not admit that they have a need is because they will not come to the realization of themselves, of having sense even, that they have a need. We live in a spiritual leper colony called America. And it's only getting worse. There are many people who have chances, but they think in their mind, be it our neighbors or our family or our co-workers, and they think in their mind, I'm not as bad as, and they'll name someone else. We live in such an open society and there's no blush anymore. Our kids are exposed to more than we would ever imagine when we were growing up. And it just seems like that this permissive society is just getting worse and worse. Not admitting. Many would say, I've never robbed a bank. I've never killed anyone. I've never raped anyone. I'm not a child molester. I'm not a dopehead. I'm not a drug addict. And I'm sure better than some of those hypocrites down at the church. These lepers, they were very much aware of their need. And the Bible says they actually cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And we see here that their confidence was not in the priest, but their confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the mercy of God, He saved us. They admitted that they had a need. They acknowledged even Christ as the Master. And they accepted His mercy. Oh, thank God for the mercy of God. Lamentation reminds us, chapter 3 and verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. I do not know how long the Lord, in His patience and infinite grace, will continue. But the Lord one day is going to call time. He's going to call time. We must realize that there's people all around us that are like these lepers. Unclean. Indeed, but worse, they're deteriorating. They're wasting away. And they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. Notice in verse number 14 of our text, and when He saw them, when Jesus saw them, reminded more than one occasion, when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. because they were as sheep having no shepherd. When the Lord looks at these lepers, we understand what has taken place. He sees them when he saw them, and he said to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." It came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. You see, only the priest could declare one free of leprosy. It wasn't the priest that healed them. Notice the text. As they went, as they stepped out by faith, as they trusted the Lord, he commanded these lepers. We could go back to the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus in chapter 14, and see the process, the ordinance that was given of slaying the bird and taking a live bird and the mixture again of all of the ointment, but it would be dipped into the blood and healing would begin for the lepers. But not here. The Lord just simply says, "Go show yourself to the priest," meaning that they could be declared that they were now free of leprosy, that they had been healed. We see not only their falling to ordinance here, but we see their obedience. They step out by faith. And the Bible says again, as they went, they were healed, or were healed as they went. Do you see it? See the observation here? Immediately they were healed, even before they got to the priest. And as they obeyed the Lord's command, they were healed. But I notice in this text, in verse 15, would you read it aloud, please, the first four words? What does it say? One of them. And one of them. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. It's a wonderful thought, is it not? They come into the village. The Lord spots them. And they cry out to the Lord. And God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, on his way to the cross, immediately healed them. Just spoke the word. They were not near him at all. They were far off. They were separated. But to prove what had taken place, he said, "Go show thyself to the priest." For there the priest would declare them clean. But as they started to the temple, one turned back. This one turned back. He had a complete miracle. One of them. The one leper comes back and he does three things. And for our message this morning, I would ask that you underscore the Lord's words in verse 17 when he says, "But where are the nine? Where are the nine?" Throughout the month of November, if you'll notice our calendar, we're placing an emphasis on not only that gratitude, as we think about giving thanks at Thanksgiving. But during this time, that we would also be mindful of all that God has done for us. And may we respond by asking the question that the psalmist asked in Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Salvation's free. Thank God for that. But God has blessed us so much. And we owe him everything. When we talk about stewardship, so often people say, "Well, there goes the preacher again talking about money." But stewardship is more than just giving back to the Lord in our tithe and our offering. Stewardship is about yielding ourselves unto the Lord. And what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I cannot repay him for salvation. But the Lord desires that we follow the Lord completely to serve Him faithfully. For Jesus says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then he says, and follow me. Thank God salvation has already been taken care of on Calvary's cross. I was worse than a leper. I was worse than one who had some contagious disease, hereditary indeed, coming all the way back from Adam, a disease again that would more than just deteriorate my body, but my soul. And may I say, I was condemned. I was ready to go to hell as a young boy if I had not turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me re-speak that. That's not even a good term. Let me redo that. When I say I was ready to go to hell, I wasn't ready to go to hell. But that's where I was, my destiny was, until I turned to Christ. But I'm glad now I'm ready to go to heaven. Would you say amen? A time in my life when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I've been cleansed. He just spoke a word. And they were all cleansed. And as they're headed toward the temple to be declared clean before the priest, one of them turns back. And the Lord even asked the question, now do you think that the omniscient Lord really needed to ask the question? Were there not ten? He's saying to the rest of the crowd, were there not ten? In just a few days, after this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ would go to the cross. He was amazed that only one said thank you. Have you said thank you to the Lord this morning? Have you said thank you to the Lord for all that He's done in your life, most of all for giving you this gift of eternal life, salvation? Then should it not motivate us? Should it not stimulate us to want to do something for the Lord? One of them, the Bible says, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Perhaps a voice that now was clear. One that had been able to speak. One, again, that could not speak because of leprosy and his rasping. His larynx, again, was full of fluid. He was unable to speak clearly, but now he could glorify God with all of his heart and thank God for what God has done. When we talk about coming to the house of the Lord, it's more than just coming to sing. It's more than just coming to see what I can get. But as we come through those doors, it's a time that we should be in a spirit of worship, of worshiping the Lord. Would you say amen? A time that we dismiss everything outside of these walls. A time that we focus upon what God has done for us. A time that we give Him praise and thanksgiving. A time, again, that we lift up His name. And may I say, it's a time as we come into the presence of the Lord that we just thank Him for this gift of eternal life and this abundant life. I believe, truthfully, the more that we praise the Lord, the more we'll want to do for the Lord. You think about the word think and thank. If a person never thinks about all that Christ has done, they'll never be thankful for anything at all. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that one of them fell down on his face and at his feet, humbled himself and began to worship the Lord. One of them is giving him thanks. And the Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. But where are the nine? Would you turn with me, please, to Psalm 107? David talks much about giving praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Psalm 107, let's look at several verses here. And you'll find it down in verse number 8. And the Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Do you see that? Notice verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Notice verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. It's about praising the Lord and being reminded over and over again to give thanksgiving to the Lord. Not just on the day of Thanksgiving. Not just in the month of November. But every day of our life. A time of praise. And the Bible says that one of them realized that God offers more than just physical healing. He would go to the priest to be declared by the community or for the community clean. But may I say, immediately he was converted. Immediately he became a child of God. One of them returns not to just give thanks for healing, but one of them returns again to seek the Lord. He recognized his need of a Savior. And the Bible says this key phrase, and he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan? It's one thing to have leprosy, but to be a Samaritan as well? He indeed was shunned. From the Jewish viewpoint, this man was an outcast. This man did not deserve healing. This man deserved what he had. The only reason that he could associate with the Jews is because these lepers were pronounced unclean. That's the only way. And the Bible says, underscore, and one of them made a decision. One of them came back with a determination. One of them worshiped the Lord with a true devotion. One of them, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips to give thanks again for his name. We're much like the little boy that was given an orange. The man gave the little boy an orange. And the mother says to her son, what do you say to the nice man? And the little boy looked at his orange, handed the orange back to the man and says, peel it. Now look, that's the society in which we live. That's where we're at. What can you give me, and can you give me more? Rather than a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. May we be mindful every day of our life of our friends. This past Sunday night, we spoke on being kind one to another. About being kind. Think about the kindness that others have shown us. Should we not, in return, show kindness? When we think about the kindness of the Lord, when we think about His love, we think about His mercy. We think about His wonderful, marvelous grace. Are we going to be like the little boy and just ask for something else? Or should there be a time of praise and thanksgiving, of gratitude? The 10 were healed physically. But only one was actually made whole. But one of them, he got more than a new body. He got a new heart. He was thankful for the grace of God and a testimony, my friend, to others that are around, no doubt, of God's grace. We ought to be in a heart of gratitude, to remember His grace. If it were not for the grace of God, oftentimes I've said it, when I look at someone that is down and out and someone's headed to a Christless eternity, if it were not for the grace of God, that could be me. We go outside of these walls and we see people that are hurting everywhere. People that are downtrodden. People feel like that they have lost. They have nothing to live for. They have no real purpose in life. They're searching for meaning. And we have the answer. And yet many of those people that I see just live a life from day to day, just barely getting by. And then we have all the blessings of God. Should we not be giving God praise and thanksgiving? Our dependence should not be upon the government to take care of us. Our dependence should not be upon somebody else and looking to them. And may we who are healthy and strong be mindful of those who are not and try to reach out to them to help them. Others, Lord, others, let this my motto be. Others, Lord, others, that I may live like Thee. We see the condition of these men, the confidence, and the command that was given to this one, and only one responded in the gratitude. In verses 17 and 18, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made the whole. 10 were healed. Only one turned back to give praise and thanks given to the Lord. And he received something greater than the other 9. And God has saved us. He spared us. And it's only by His mercy and His grace. And Jesus answered. Notice the rhetorical question to drive home the important point of ingratitude and indifference here. Where are the 9? He says, but he says, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? You can almost hear the heartbreak of the Lord. Where are the 9? There should have been 10 bowed down giving praise. There should have been 10 that turned around before they headed to the temple to be declared clean. The Bible says in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Would you write down 2 or 3 things real quick? The 9 had made up their mind that they would worship God and they would see the priest in the temple. That's all they were interested in selfishly, is being healed, being cleansed, and to be declared no longer an outcast, but clean. God doesn't dwell in the temple. God dwells in our hearts. He asked the question, where are the 9? I've written down these words. Would you like to write a few of them down? Number 1, they were insensitive, leading them to be unthankful. Insensitive. They were inferior, felt unworthy to go even closer possibly. They were intimidated, unknown territory that they had never had gone before, in the expectation of what would happen. Now, they were influenced, no doubt, by the others. They were interfering with the uncertainty. They were involved, unaware, and so busy. Why are people living in such ingratitude? It's inconvenient at times. We have to change our schedule. We have to think of differently. We have to do something different. We have to put forth a little extra effort. They were independent, uneasy about trusting others. No need, again, to worry about others, just themselves. And they were indecisive, unsure of making a real commitment. But watch this one, ingratitude. Ingratitude was it. If there's one sin that is most prevalent today in America, it's ingratitude. When we think about where our country has come from and where we are, and we see so much ingratitude of men, some of you are sitting here today that will honor this next Sunday, that have served in military and fought for the freedom in which we enjoy in America. I believe we take that for granted. It's all about this sin of ingratitude. That's what's going on with these nine. The one turned back. The one realized there was more to this than just the physical. He turned back. And the Lord immediately reminded him that he's not only been cleansed, but he was healed. That he received something that the others did not receive. Think about the condition of our country and where we're at. And men that are condemned. But think about what the Lord Jesus Christ says, is come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord has the answer. They knew something about the miracles of Christ. They had to know something. They cried out to the Lord, and the Lord immediately healed them. Just spoke a word. And may I say to all of us today, in light of what God has done for us, should we not be willing to give all to Him? As we think about this time of Thanksgiving, it should motivate us to be good stewards. The Bible says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful, not just in tithe and offering, but faithful in serving the Lord. You have not chosen me, he said to the disciples, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. God has left all of us here for a purpose. How many this morning would just raise your hand in praise and say, I thank the Lord that God has saved my soul. Would you raise your hand with mine? Now, just wave it a little bit there. Some folks may think we're Pentecostal or something, but it's all right. We just praise the Lord and thank Him for what He's done. By the way, I think we're way too quiet about it anyway. Amen. And one preacher said, if we're going to praise the Lord throughout all of eternity, should we not start practicing now? Should we not start practicing now and give Him praise? Well, the one gave praise when he gave his heart completely to the Lord. And he left not only cleansed, but a changed man, a converted man. And the Lord has done so much for us. So the writer again, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I pray that our church family, those of us who know Christ as our Savior, would recognize what Christ has done and have this spirit of gratitude of serving others. Not just living a life that's pleasing to the Lord as far as witness is concerned, but willing to serve, to give back, to be a good steward, to give our talent back to the Lord, to give our time back to the Lord. And sure, give our tithe, but about giving ourselves to the Lord. Oh, may God help us. Let's stand with you.